The Healthcare Quality Cast is powered by the Quality Coaching Company. If you'd like to work with us to earn your Lean Six Sigma for healthcare certification or partner with our innovative corporate training and coaching programs to successfully scale your continuous improvement initiatives, then click the link below to learn more and apply.
Hey, quality people, welcome to the Healthcare Quality Cast. I'm your host, Jarvis Gray, and in this podcast, we spotlight today's most exciting and inspiring industry leaders. We dive deep into the career journeys of these leaders that work daily to improve quality, safety, and service outcomes for their patients, their family members, and their communities at large. Our mission is to provide motivation and direction to our listeners, encouraging you all to continue your efforts in improving the overall quality of healthcare. Now, let's meet today's quality guests. Thank you for joining in on another episode of the Healthcare Quality Cast. And today, I'm here with my special guest, Seppi Browning. Seppi, are you ready to share with some quality people?
Yes, I am. I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
Oh, wonderful. Seppi, thank you so much for saying yes. And as we jump into it, we really love to get every show started with positive affirmations to get our momentum going for today. So Seppi, I'd love if you could share a favorite leadership quote or favorite leadership mindset, but tell us why it appeals to you and how do you apply it on a daily basis?
Well, Jarvis, I would like to focus on the mindset, because mindset is something that you can take with you throughout your life, throughout your experiences, throughout the journey of your career. And that mindset is to be open to any task, to be open to any role, anything that's kind of pops up in front of you as an opportunity, be open-minded. Jump in, help fill the gap wherever it's needed at your work. And that's, again, something you can take to your personal life as well, in your family, in whatever you're involved with. As you might know, I'm also involved with scouting. So just be open to any role or task in life, and just be there as a support, be there as a team member, be there to lead when it's needed, to follow when it's needed. So that's where I want to start.
I love that mindset, Seppi. I've shared on some past episodes with the podcast that I had a mentor early in my healthcare career that shared a very similar mindset with me. And she said, be open, because you never know where it'll take me from a career point of view. But I also had a year where I just did a personal challenge to myself where I said yes to every crazy idea that people will share with me. And that has absolutely kind of spurred where I am now, just, you know, as a professional, but even as a person, to your point. So I just want to double down. I love the mindset, and I've applied it in a few different quirky ways. And Lord knows, I don't know if I'd be here without it. So.
Absolutely. I ditto everything you just said. It's a big part of who I am. And multiple times I've had some great leaders in my career share that with me. And there's always a balance, right? It's not just to say yes to everything, but my point is to be open to doing something different. Absolutely. And just being willing to learn or just be there to sometimes fill that gap, which is very important in some different organizations or workflows, which I want to get to, and we'll get to further on to kind of explain where I'm going with this.
All right, perfect. Well, I'm loving the setup, because that's, you know, to learn more about you before we dive into so many other aspects with your background, Seppi. But let me move into this next question with first congratulating you on the recent award recipient for our HIMSS 2021 Chapter Leader of the Year. And with that, Seppi, I'd love if you could share exactly what it is you're into, because your background, your designations and certifications are so very impressive. If you could share that with our folks, your professional background, and absolutely what led you into this career path.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, it is a complete honor to have this recognition by HIMSS, which is a healthcare IT professional organization, which I'm heavily involved with. So it's an honor. But I also have to say, our chapter got recognized as a large chapter of the year as well. And if it wasn't for the people around me, which is the wonderful board members that I have, the members are very involved. And also we have a great group of sponsors. If it wasn't for that collection of a support group, I don't think either one of those would have happened. So I have to really thank everyone that's around me that have been supportive and just helped me through that journey of being president of Georgia HIMSS, which I have just recently rolled off of. So yeah, it's been an honor and it's something that I'm very excited about. To take further or to answer further some of your questions, as you can see through my profile and what I've done, I've always been someone that loved to wear multiple hats and be involved with a lot of what I'm doing. So I'm very involved with my healthcare IT community, with my healthcare community, and with my community as a whole. I love to be involved with scouting and what my local community efforts as well. So with that said, I don't know how far or where you would like me to start, Jarvis.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love kind of the quick and dirty overview from some of the work you're doing around healthcare IT. Cause you know, again, Seppi, just things that I've learned from your profile, you touch on healthcare operations, healthcare project and change management areas. I mean, that's so much of what IT is. And I share right before our call, I haven't had enough IT professionals, but I mean, healthcare is going to be so IT driven today, tomorrow, forever in the future. So please, yeah, give us the overview.
Quick and dirty. So I've been in healthcare and in healthcare since out of high school. Joined the Army as a medic. Then went into ROTC, got my commission in the Medical Service Corps. And from there, as I transitioned out of the military into the civilian part of my career, started in a hospital and never left. So my career has pretty much been in a hospital the whole time. And part of that has offered me the opportunity to know the workflow. From when a patient is scheduled to all the way when the patient receives their bills and everything in between, which is really exciting and part of why IT is special. I think IT touches all those different segments of workflow. And what I believe our mission is to make it easier so that our employees, our team members can take care of those patients smoothly, better, efficiently, so that the patient experience and the patient is obviously not coming to you to, you know, it's not a party. They're there for some difficult, difficult times in their life. So making things smoother or being part of a team that can provide better solutions or better opportunities and experiences is very fulfilling. So ultimately, I believe that's what we're here for. And hopefully throughout my career, I've helped a couple of times or here and there where I've been able to help make that happen, I hope.
Well, first, let me absolutely say thank you for, you know, your commitment through the Army. I had no idea from that part. I know we've just been getting started to work together, but I want to thank you for that. And I want to also maybe just highlight for any of our listeners who are not super familiar with either the IT and or project management background, but Seppi, I always say that I probably have way more designations or certifications than I need. I'm going to say you're right up there. Like, I don't know, I probably have to do a count and see. You're definitely right there pushing more than me, more or less. Could you talk about any of your professional development your training as it relates to healthcare, IT, project management. I'm seeing things like your PMP, of course, but then your ITIL background, your pro implementation manager background. Can you just highlight those and just maybe introduce those to our audience? Because again, we haven't had those conversations on this podcast yet.
Sure. I think this still goes back to the core of being open to new things that drove some of these credentials and certifications. When you're in the IT department, there is a lot of different, focus areas. There's applications, there's hardware, there's security. And in all of that, there's a lot of other specialized areas, and a lot of, and all of it really interested me, which drove some of these opportunities. And I've had a lot of different mentors along the way that supported that and helped me understand the different parts of IT. And as they opened my eyes to these different areas, which led to becoming a little bit more educated, which led to the opportunity to learn and prepare for some of these credentials. So just a couple that are pretty popular or not just popular, but utilized and part that really would help anyone that wants to get into healthcare IT. Someone looking at your resume will hopefully take note of it and open some doors for you. One of them is ITIL, which is the Information Technology Infrastructure Library type of solution or certification. But what that provides or illustrates is the fact that you understand some of the foundation of change management, incident management, the importance of documentation, of training, of you know, like a help desk, for example. You know, when you call a help desk, you, whether it's AT&T you're calling or whether a hospital help desk, you know, these folks are anything can be on that call that they're being asked to resolve. And this type of certification helps you to try to focus having the right support system, documentation, training for an example, that type of a group to be successful in their role and supporting whoever is the caller on the other end of the phone. So that's one example. The other one is anything we do in a project, in a hospital, turns into a project. And my intent or my thought is nobody wants to complicate everything. But a lot of times the reason why it's turned into a project is because you want to make sure the right amount of input and communication occurs across the board, right? Even something small could highly impact the workflow. And as we all know, we're taking care of patients and we don't want to put some road bumps in the workflow that we didn't account for, that we could have if we would have taken it down the right path and had involvement and input from all the right players that do those roles. So I think that's why a lot of things turn into projects in the healthcare field. And the PMI organization or the PMP certification represents hopefully that whoever is coming to lead these projects has that foundation to be able to organize and start a project from, you know, front to end and have that efficiency part of that. But I would like to say also anyone that does project management and also has operational experience will know that you always kind of have to find a balance between those. Because a lot of things look great on paper and you organize it, it looks great. But when you actually want to operationalize it or try to deploy it, it might not always make sense. That's why having those people that actually do the roles and support that system or support that workflow, whether it's technology driven or clinically driven. It's so important to have their involvement so that what you think looks great on paper really works as great when you actually deploy it in the field and for that success to happen, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing for me, you know, I came into healthcare in 2007, but I had a career path before healthcare, which was 100% project based. So I was doing work out in the electric utilities field. I was a design engineer there, and coming into healthcare. So I had, at least what I believed, more so than maybe some of my healthcare colleagues, a pretty strong project management foundation. I have my master's in project management, my PMP. So I grew up as a project manager, and I've grown into a healthcare professional over the last 14 or so years. But I love highlighting so much of that, Seppi, because in everything we're doing nowadays, I mean, to your point, right, just about everything gets turned into a project. So having that strong foundation for managing projects, I think, is key for all of our audience members listening. But then, you know, find me a project now that doesn't involve some component of technology. So having knowledge of just the ins and outs of technology, I think is just, again, more things that healthcare leaders can continue to learn and leverage for the success of their organizations, but even for their own professional building and professional success too. So that's definitely why I wanted to explore just those backgrounds with you. Really quickly, Seppi, and the last thing, I'm going like completely off script. This probably has nothing to do with the show at all. But just because I know you're over in the Johns Creek area, are you familiar with Sarah's Donuts?
We are. We definitely are. Yes. And it is a treat every so often when it shows up for different celebrations or celebratory events. Yes, it is one of my favorites. Right. Anyone out there that's ever had it, you know what we're talking about. And if not, you really need to look it up. It's worth the drive.
And I'm telling you, and any of our listeners ever come to Atlanta, I will personally take you to Sarah's. On my trips out to Johns Creek when I was working in that area. I would literally find reasons to go to Johns Creek just to pass by Sarah's. Like, there was no other reason. So.
Well, anyway. You better let me know next time you're there.
All right, perfect. All right, back on script here, I guess. Seppi, let me move you to our next question. And I've been calling this the dark place question because I love if you could share with us a point in your healthcare career that you would consider to be your best moment of failure. So if you could share with us, you know, the story, the background that made that moment possible, but most importantly, any major lessons learned that you took from it.
Well, I really didn't have to think hard about this because it's something that crosses my mind often. And I believe that opportunity loss was going to medical school. I had my whole, you know, when you're in high school and college, you have your whole life figured out. And all of the classes and all the priorities and all the focus was really driving me to get into medical school. And I allowed the MCAT test to really scare me, lack of a better word. So I got intimidated. I did not follow through on that. And I think that has been another driver of why I do focus on different types of credentials and different opportunities in life. But I do believe where that stopped or that pathway, that career pathway ended, a lot of other things started. So that is one area where I think my whole life kind of took a different turn than what I had mentally thought where I was going and got me to where I am today.
Oh, that's a very interesting reflection. And it's so intriguing again, because seeing your profile and hearing you, you know, a few minutes ago, tell your story in terms of growing professionally and all the professional development. I can't imagine what the younger Seppi could have been like to have been intimidated by the test then, but I love the journey that it set you out on now. You know, again, the things that I followed from you, Seppi, just an extraordinary leader all the way around. So I guess this is the path that was meant for you nonetheless. So I love hearing that and find that reflection really interesting.
And you're right. I do believe ultimately whatever's meant to be will happen.
Absolutely.
But I do reflect on how things would have been different. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously I work with a lot of providers every day, and that interest in that core of medicine still kind of drove me to where I am and why, as you had already mentioned, why I love technology, because there is nothing that is done now in a hospital or in the healthcare field that does not have some aspect of technology. And what I love to bring to the table or anyone that has this knowledge is workflow is still the driver. Being able to understand the workflow, the language, and be able to help and support all the providers, the leaders, the decision makers, to marry that technology with the workflow and where it all comes together, that sweet spot to make the workflow more efficient. And that's kind of where I am. That's where I get my personal satisfaction and believe that I am still making a difference, hopefully, for the care of that patient.
No, absolutely. And I know for sure, you know, we didn't highlight, but, you know, we also share common bonds with our work with the Georgia ACHE chapter. And I know you're out there pushing so many great programs in support of that team. So I'd say even beyond the patients, you're making a great impact just for healthcare professionals that are also trying to find, you know, their voice and their vision for leadership. So great job, great reflection. And again, I'm glad you're still kind of on this side with us, but I can absolutely see that reflection still popping up here and there too. But let me do my best. I'm going to dig you out of that moment, Seppi, and would love to move you to our next question. Mm-hmm. If you could share with us a tip, tool, or tactic that works well for building up intimate connections on the teams that you lead, if you could share with us what it is and how do you apply it?
As you know, as a project manager, your team, the resources do not always report to you. So from an operational leadership where you have direct reports, to a matrix kind of org chart where you have people on the project and maybe all five of them report to different people. So, and keeping that camaraderie, keeping teamwork, keeping everyone going in the same direction and pathway. When I was thinking about this, there's two things that came to mind. One was honesty. I know that might sound basic. Honesty, and second is support. And what do I mean by them? Honesty is transparency. So on a project, things change for multiple reasons. Keeping the team aware of what's going on, making sure that that helps them be engaged. That helps them or motivates them to want the success of the project. And the second one is support. And what do I mean by that? When you're working with someone and they're communicating to you that there's a challenge, that there's a hiccup, that they need more time, that they need support, they need help. You need to support and listen to your team and hear what it is that they might be challenged with. And support them, help them, open the pathway to the right people, bring the right people together to identify the right solution. I'm not saying I'm the one that resolves the issue. It's just supporting them to find the right pathway. So simply put, I believe honesty and support for the team brings that teamwork, that camaraderie, brings that family feeling of where everybody wants really the success of what you're trying to achieve.
Well, wonderful. I love those takeaways. And Seppi, if it's okay, I'm going to tag you with another one because, again, just with our most recent connections through GAHI and then even our diversity and inclusion calls that we've been having. So I have to give you so many props for your sense of humor. And you, I don't know, we've only been doing this virtually, but you have this like vibe that really kind of creates a nice sense of just peace and warmth. So I just want to give you credit and props in those areas too, because the first few calls that we've been on, though, that's exactly what made me say, I wonder if Seppi would come onto the podcast. I just really enjoyed your vibe, love your sense of humor. So I want to give that a shout out as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I think what it is about our personalities, we're people persons, or, you know, and ultimately, the personal part of all this satisfaction and why I think a lot of us do some of these additional volunteer roles or take advantage of these volunteer opportunities is the people. I've met a lot of great people that I would have never met in my life. And there's no other takeaway other than the enjoyment of meeting that person. There is no professional relationship, like there's no job happening, right? No career impact. It is literally getting to know some people that you would have never bumped into potentially in your personal or professional life. But these organizations offer those opportunities, and that's fulfilling in itself, right?
Absolutely. No, I love it. Let me move you to the next question, Seppi. And again, just kind of really curious to see where you go with this, but I'd love if you could share with us one of the best aha moments that you've had as a healthcare leader. Again, you know, take us through the moment. Tell us, how did that idea strike you? And most importantly, if you were able to turn it into a personal or a professional success.
Well, I think what happened early on when I got out of the Army, as I started transitioning to the civilian side, keep in mind, I already had my master's degree and I was a hospital administrator. So I've had 9.5 years of experience, and I had done a lot in my mind. But when I came out of the military, the only job that I could find on the civilian side in healthcare was a secretary of radiology. So I went into the civilian side, started my job as a secretary for, I'll never forget her name, Mary Hanshaw. And to this day, I try to find her on LinkedIn and I can't. But she hired me, and she was very, hesitant, because she was like, you're not going to stay. You're going to, you know, you're going to find something better in 6 months and leave. But she gave me an opportunity to start building what I could do on the civilian side of my career. And again, the aha that I'm referring to is the fact that sometimes where you think you are in your career, and whether it's because of your experience, your education, or whatever it might be, might not always be what happens right away. As challenging as it was in my own mind, thinking I got to start from scratch again, or, where is this going to take me? Trying to stay positive on the common core goal of staying in healthcare. The one thing I did not waver was healthcare and a hospital environment. That's something that's always been important to me throughout my entire career, military and civilian. Hospital has always been the foundation of what I cherished and loved. And so being open to starting it, that journey in a whole different way, brought me to, again, where I am today. And I appreciate, to this day, I appreciate her for giving me that initial opportunity to be able to start my career on the civilian side.
Wonderful. And I do want to connect the dots. I mean, I love that continuing theme of being open and just, you know, kind of taking chances, even if it felt like taking a step backwards, still taking that step and building up from there. That's impressive and it's impactful. And, you know, for our listeners, I think it kind of pulls into this bigger scope that your career is going to last a long time. So you have to be open just to kind of moving around and taking good opportunities when they're presented and building up from there. So just to touch on that too.
Absolutely.
So next question I have for you, Seppi, would love if you could share some thoughts around current changes going on in the healthcare industry that you're excited about. And what role do you see, obviously quality professionals, but I'll even throw healthcare IT and project management professionals kind of in the bucket there too. what role do you see us playing to support its overall success?
That is a big, that's a big question. A big,
just a little bit big.
Yeah. However, it is also a huge opportunity, I think, for all of us in healthcare too. So if we look at it from the outside in, it is the, as we all know, I'm not telling anyone that listens or is listening to this anything they don't know, but the pandemic offered the opportunity for telemedicine and all of that to actually become more successful. And that is something that we don't want to slow down or we want that pathway to continue. So there is an opportunity for all of us, and something I try to work with some different organizations is to continue to focus on broadband access for the communities in the rural areas. Awesome. You know, in Georgia, we got a lot of rural cities out there that still have difficulties to access, you know, for healthcare. So from the outside in, that is a focus for all of us and should remain. And from the inside out, it gives the opportunity for awareness and focus on things like emergency management, preparedness. Technology is good, but also technology can fail at times or go down, or there can be issues, as you can imagine. Having preparedness, having drills, I think is something that the pandemic brought to light for hospitals, for healthcare, so that when there is something not going as expected, how to react to it in the best efficient manner with patient safety and efficiency in mind. So with doing that and stepping back to where we are now, identifying where those gaps were during the pandemic. And sometimes you might have duct taped something, but identifying where those gaps are. And now, whether it's through project management or through some of these process improvements with your quality departments or whatever, you can now focus on those to try to make sure those needs are addressed and actually embedded into the workflow so that we continuously become better prepared and better at what we're trying to do for our patients.
I definitely appreciate both of those thoughts. So the focus, you know, that you have with supporting groups, rural communities around strengthening their technology, you know, foundations with broadband, I really impressed with that. And I was going to kind of, I guess, ask, let me know, this could be a podcast or a post-podcast conversation, but just again, with your profile here, some of the work that's going on, even in that Crescent region between Atlanta and Athens. I mean, I don't know if that kind of plays into your thoughts there, but I was just curious, you know, from a personal point of view. But, you know, your points also about emergency management and the pandemic. You know, first, it makes me think I have not had an emergency management professional on the podcast, so I need to bring that topic up. But, you know, I was working with a number of teams at that time when the pandemic first started. And when I say it felt like everyone was caught flat-footed, that was really the experience. So I love to just ask, I mean, where does some of that response now lay from your point of view? I know project management isn't your expertise, but I'm also wondering, is that now a great opportunity for organizations to look at strategic plans and priorities and make sure they're given the right support to emergency management in some of these cases?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you something. It was literally 2 to 3 months before COVID really hit close to home here in Georgia, where there was a gap in someone really owning the emergency management functions at the hospital that I work at. And again, the opportunity presented itself and I raised my hand and I took that hat. I took that responsibility, not knowing that 2 to 3 months later we'd be hit with this need to deal with a response to a pandemic. So since then, it's been such an eye-opening experience to be a part of this and both seeing my leaders and being a part of how and why some of the decisions were made, whether it was, like I said, surge planning, or whether it was, you know, inventory of the supplies and making sure that everyone had the right equipment and supplies at the right time. It was such an eye-opening experience. And now in that same role as I'm continuing to be in, as we prepare, whether it's for a joint commission visit or whatever, all of those policies and all of that checklist, you know, how we in the years past, you would check, you know, I did it, means something so different. You know, it just, you know, because it can happen, right? And having that preparedness and the fact that, you know, people say you got to have drills, it means so much more than words now. That, you know, unfortunate for this, that it happened, but it did bring to light, like I said, the importance of some of these processes, policies, or whatever you want to call it, and why they even exist. So it's been a very eye-opening experience that it's just been very interesting to be a part of.
And it was interesting to me what I've been learning from that early experience right at the forefront of the pandemic with emergency management. Again, for all of our listeners, if you're not connected, I mean, it's process driven, it is supply chain driven, it's strategic planning driven, it's project management. So everything that that folks like us kind of geek out about, all of that exists in the world of emergency management for healthcare teams and systems. So wonderful. Thank you for sharing in that experience. And quickly to the other question too, the Innovation Crescent, what's that all about? And I would love to just, like I said, that's just personal geek out question for me.
Yeah, that is a newer hat that or organization that I've become involved with. And they're really focused on the economic development of biotech and healthcare IT companies in those counties. So these different counties have come together, and it's a consortium. It's a collaboration. It's a network. You know, we all, you know, whether you want to call it GAHI or Georgia HIMSS, this is another opportunity where people have come together to try to really work together, help recruit new companies to their regions. And these people have come together, or these groups have come together, but they also obviously have relations with other chambers in different counties throughout our state. And ultimately, we want our state to be successful, right? And we want companies that are wherever else in the country to know that we are the technology capital of the East, and we want them to come and want to expand and give more jobs and give more opportunities to our state here. And Innovation Crescent is a part of that with that type of a mission. And right now it's only 16 counties that have that partnership, but we're hoping that it'll continue to grow. And as I mentioned, focus on the economic development of those counties and our state really as a whole.
All right. Fantastic. No, I've again, learning so much as I did my work to prepare for this conversation with you. I'm slowly starting to plug back in with the Atlanta Tech Village that's over in the Buckhead area. Not sure if you're familiar with that, but I'll do some more research just to learn more about the Crescent myself. Again, I was just really curious, but love again, just connecting the dots. And I think at the forefront of what I learned from what you just shared there is so much of the industry is going to continue to be technology driven from this point forward. So for all of our listeners, figure out the tech villages and the tech opportunities in your unique regions and just plug in, learn more. Just, you know, there's some cool, intelligent and passionate people doing some really great work. So awesome. Next question I have for you, Seppi, I'd love if you could share how the healthcare industry itself can become a more attractive place for talented quality and technology professionals to start and grow their careers.
Well, I think if you're in the business of just helping people, if you're in the business of wanting to innovate and find opportunities for improvement, I think this could be a home for you. There are a lot of masters in healthcare management. A lot of these different degrees and focus areas are very popular right now. So I believe the attention is there. And what I'm hoping that the rest of us can do is help bridge that as our future generations come out with the different degrees or different educational backgrounds, that we can help bridge them over with the right experience opportunities to start their careers, whether it's in healthcare leadership or healthcare IT opportunities. But I think the job itself inadvertently offers that fulfillment for anyone that goes in it, to know that you're ultimately there for patient experience and helping the providers who take care of those patients. So I think it naturally provides that, as you call it, attractiveness. But I think what the rest of us that have been around for a minute have to continue to do is nurture those early careerists or those people that are just getting their degrees and help bridge their careers to get kickstarted and fill the gaps that fill the areas that they can fill to continue to improve our field.
All right, perfect. Love that feedback there. Seppi, I'm going to move us into a part of the show that I call the two-minute drill. It's kind of my version of a rapid-fire Q&A, but just want to do a quick check, see how you're feeling, and if you're ready to rock.
Okay.
All right, perfect. So first question I have for you, Seppi, it's something of a two-parter where I love if you could first tell our quality people something about your current role that inspires you to do your best, but then also share with us, how do you inspire others within your organization?
Well, let me tell you, I believe when sometimes it's something simple, but when you provide a solution or provide to them an efficiency or something that your users believe that save them time, where they can not focus on technology, but focus on their patients, I think it's very, very fulfilling. And that truly continues to inspire me. And I think when you're in a hospital, IT might be in the dungeon or wherever, but as you walk around on the floors and you might have to go to a patient room to look at a computer, or you might have to go upstairs to talk to the nursing director. But when you're walking around, and if you're aware of your environment, you will realize why you're there. So I think that's what is continuously daily eye-opening and never changes. So that's what I would hope that anyone goes into this field, whether it's leadership, whether it's technology or components of that, meaning there's embedded in that is project management or any other role, that you go in with that passion or with that with that want to begin with. And whether whatever direction your career takes you, the rest is that will drive you to whatever else you do for the field or for your team or for your organization.
Awesome, man. What's the best piece of career advice that you've ever received?
I know this is duplicative or something we've already talked about, but it is very much what I do on a daily basis. It's be open-minded, be open to change. Change is hard. Be open to opportunities. And just like I said, when you're, whether you're the leader, one thing I've learned in the Army was whether, you know, if you're the leader, but at times you have to also follow the role of, you know, you're the follower. So it just depends on what it is you're trying to accomplish at that time, but you need to be open-minded to all of that.
Perfect. And Seppi, if you could trade jobs with anyone in your organization, with whom would it be and why?
One of my passion areas is operations. I would love to be in that leadership opportunity in an operational role, you know, wherever I'm at. And that would be very, would allow me to be very impactful from both a project and operational perspective. And like I said, bring that together so that when something's beautiful on paper and it's well managed, actually gets deployed and executed in a manner that makes sense for the people doing the job on the operational side. I think it would really help or allow me to be impactful with that.
All right, wonderful. And again, this next thought has nothing to do with our show at all, but only because, you know, I had experiences working with your team, your CEO. Was just honestly one of my most favorite people on earth. So just giving you an extra shout out there to your leadership team. Back on script here. So next question, I'd love, Seppi, if you could share a personal habit that contributes to your success when leading any of the projects that you work on in your role.
Well, I think those habits would be reliability, consistency, and honesty. I think when you're reliable and consistent, whether it's in your email responses or follow-up calls or follow-up items from a meeting, I think people, it builds up your credibility, right? It builds up that people can trust in you and know that you got it. I think that's a big part of who you are potentially as a person and I believe very important in your career. And again, because of what we do and how we impact patients, patient care, and our providers, really, you don't want your director of nursing to have to keep following up with you, right? You know, they've already shared, here's what we need, here's what the challenges are. They need to be able to feel comfortable that you are taking that and running with it, right? And re-engaging them when it's the right time and not wasting their time. So I think all of that builds to a good relationship with your peers and success for the organization as well.
Wonderful. And what is a go-to website or mobile application for executing on the work that you lead?
Well, it's more of a, it is a web-based tool, but it's one of my favorites. It's Smartsheet. Have you heard of Smartsheets?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So it's become a very much a tool of choice where it has enabled real-time communication, real-time prioritization, real-time visibility of whatever the challenge, issue, need might be. And you can share that, right? You can share it with whoever that might be on your project team. And again, anyone in IT knows we're always sensitive about access and rights, right? And then you kind of are able to manage the level of access different people have. Some people can view it, some people can edit it. And it just gives you the right, you know, the right features in that tool to be able to have transparency and collaboration with whoever your customer or your team might be.
All right, perfect. And I was curious. I was almost wondering if you were going to give me like a big list of like 50 things there.
So. No, no. And here's the other thing. I think simplicity is important, right?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Smartsheet does kind of present itself in a in an Excel type of format. So it's not like you're trying to train people. You're not trying to train people while you're trying to help them, right? You want something simple where they can just engage and help resolve or address whatever the need might be.
All right. Wonderful. Love that recommendation. Seppi, could you share with our quality people a professional society or a professional conference that you think would be a value add?
Well, from a society perspective, I'm sure you're not surprised. My two favorites are HIMSS and ACHE. And as you know, they both provide annual conferences, which when you go to them, it is a whole different experience, right? When you go to the national events, they provide obviously a lot of educational opportunities, but networking is another huge plus to all that, right? You, when you go multiple years, you start seeing some of the, you know, reoccurring faces or the people you've seen throughout the years, and you actually connect with them. You know, I have some friends from California and Texas and stuff that I see at these events, and you really just see each other once a year, but it's a great opportunity to reconnect. So these organizations do provide an opportunity to continue to be educated and brought up to speed on the latest whether it's trends or the latest issues or the latest thought leadership opportunities from both your peers and from other leaders in our nation. So these national opportunities are very important for that reason. But also, as you well know, being involved at the local level with our local chapters is just as both helpful to obtain education, networking, but just as fulfilling as well, because you, just as I've met you, you gain a lot of wonderful friends.
Absolutely. Love both of those recommendations also. And I'll say for me personally, HIMSS is one that I've not been super involved in. I was a member nationally, but I've even let that expire. So I appreciate the recommendation. It's something I'll probably need to plug back into it, kind of see what's going on, if nothing else. Seppi, if you could, please give us a book recommendation, but share with us why it's a recommendation.
Well, I have to be honest. I am not a big reader. I'm not that interested in reading books.
Okay.
But
I what you got for us?
But I'll share this. Because of an activity that we actually did with Gahi a couple of years ago, I met this facilitator that came and helped us with our strategic planning. And then I engaged with them to also help me during my presidency at Georgia Hymns to help with my strategic planning for that board as well. His name is Brandon Smith, and he is local here. He actually has written a book called The Hot Sauce Principle. And he really focuses on thought leadership and strategic planning. And again, the one thing that I like about what he does is the book gives you snippets of opportunities for growth or improvement, but his mind frame is really trying to be, you try to be strategic, you're trying to be proactive, but it's also very operationally realistic. And so for folks that have been in, you know, been in the, are more advanced in their career, or people that are more early careers can really still relate to it. So one of his formulas is, I'll read this formula, and he really focuses on this a lot, is authenticity plus vulnerability plus credibility equals trust. So he thinks and really demonstrates and shares why he believes this very much in the book. And also, if you ever invite him to be a facilitator, he talks about this a lot, is that you need to have all three of those to be able to create a relationship of trust with anybody. Authenticity, vulnerability, and credibility. He obviously will do a better job of explaining all that, but that formula is something that he has created on his own and believes that it is the right formula for the foundation of any leadership quality or team building need. It is just, it's a motivational tool or formula that he believes all these three aspects need to be there for that trust to be established and maintained.
Okay, wonderful. I wrote everything down there. I'm not familiar with him locally, but I love that formula. Again, just something that I hope and I really truly think will resonate really well with our listeners who are building up their leadership skills, all of our emerging leaders out there that plug in with the show. Seppi, we are right there at our very last question for today, but I want to give you a heads up because this is a personal favorite. Uh-oh. Because I'm going to get you to reflect on your past while also looking forward to your future. So let's say that you're able to send yourself one text message 10 years into the past and one text message to yourself 10 years into the future. Take a second and think about it, but what would you communicate in each one of those messages?
So here's what came to mind first. 10 years back, I would say work a little harder. And 10 years future, relax a little bit more. So I don't know if that resonates or makes sense with you, but you know, as you're growing up and as you're progressing in your career, you always think back, you're like, oh, you know, if I only would have worked harder there or, you know, so work harder is really something that comes to mind. And when you reflect backwards, but as we are, or where I am today, and with a lot of the different balls up in the air, as I start, you know, going towards the end of my career or seeing that light at the end of the tunnel for my eventual retirement, you know, as I get 10 years from now, I'm hoping that I can relax more and just enjoy some of the, you know, as they say, fruits of your labor.
Well, I'll be interesting to see, you know, 10 years from now, Seppi, where you are, because just again, today's conversation and, you know, connecting the dots with just being open to so much that a career path can throw at you. Just deep down in my gut, I feel like you're still going to be out there influencing other leaders and professionals, probably still supporting so many different communities and associations. So I hope you take heed to relax more. But, you know, I know you're still going to be out there adding value in so many different ways. So I appreciate everything you shared on our call today, Seppi. Before I let you go, I'd love if you could share with our quality people just that parting piece of advice. Share with us the best way to follow or connect with you on social media, and then we'll officially sign off.
Jarvis, thank you again for the opportunity and for inviting me, and also just for your friendship. I'm really appreciate getting to know you. How to connect with me? LinkedIn is probably a great way to do it, and I really enjoy those connections, and I do. It is a tool, or whatever you want to call it, that I do stay very current on, and I communicate and respond to anyone that talks to me or reaches out. So LinkedIn would be a wonderful tool for us to engage on and connect. And again, you'll see a theme in I guess the way I think, or the way I kind of balance what I do. I think looking a piece of advice is, again, just try to be open-minded, and that takes you down both a career path, open-minded when there's a lot of changes that occur, open-minded when your team is not able to accomplish what they need to do, try to dig into it, be open-minded when your leaders are maybe giving you a direction that might not make sense. And all of those ways, if you're open-minded, I'm hoping it will open up a pathway for communication to bridge the gap of whatever might not make sense at the moment. So I think it'll help you to not jump to the wrong conclusion. And like I said, I'm hoping it drives to open communication. So,
well, it'll definitely set up a very interesting adventure, if nothing else, based on my experience of trying to be as open-minded as possible. So I appreciate so much of that message, Seppi. I appreciate you this time to really kind of dig into your background, your skills. So thank you so much again. And to our quality people everywhere, thank you all for listening and making us a part of your day. This is Jarvis and Seppi, and we're signing off.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Quality people, thank you so much again for plugging in with today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please feel free to share it using the social media link posted in the notes below. I'd also be very grateful if you could subscribe, give us a rating, and also share feedback on what additional value we can bring to you through this podcast. That helps a lot with our show rankings and also with getting this great content out to healthcare leaders around the world. And if you want to engage with me directly, then please connect with me on LinkedIn, where I share additional resources, access to our QI community, and much more. All right, quality people, thank you again, and I'll see you back here next week when I introduce you to another quality guest.